And there's something sticky at the bottom. What the hell, guys?
Seriously. All right, we ready to go?
Yeah.
All right.
Let me rent space in your refrigerator.
Hello and welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are adjusting the levels on our iPods at the beginning of the show. My name is Brock Dittus. This is where we simplify the good life.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally, with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles and alternative transportation, arts and culture, communication and the internet. And today, not triathlons.
That's right, yeah. We were going to have Lindsay Kandra. She had a race today, I think, down in Eugene.
Right.
And so we're going to talk to her about that stuff, but that has changed. Last time, our guest tonight was here. He said, call us up any old time. And so 6 hours ago, Dan Christensen answered the phone and said, yes, I would like to be on a podcast. Dan, thank you for coming back again.
No problem, right, guys. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah.
This is great.
So, yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about, you've done some walking recently, so we're gonna cover that.
Great.
And we got a bunch of news. There's a lot of things.
We got a crap ton of news.
Yeah, definitely. Here. Listener miles, I believe.
Is that a metric crap ton?
Yes.
I think those are bigger.
Oh, that's true.
A metric shitload of things.
Oh, don't get those confused.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I got what, a crap ton and a shitload? Two different things.
I could go down the list, but it's very long and scatological, so we'll just skip that.
Exactly. Listener Miles has been sending things in. He's got app, yeah. And I'm not sure. I think it's Zite, which okay. I haven't tried it. I don't know. I assume it's one of those things for a smartphone. But he's been sending in articles like crazy. So I've been curating the ones that he sends me, and I found a couple really interesting ones. So we got a couple articles from there, a couple things other people sent in. We also have a shitload of mail, so we're feeling good about that. And then I think the personal happenings of our own lives are going to round out this conversation nicely. So
it's been a couple weeks since we've actually sat down together.
I know. Here. It's been way too long. So an hour will quickly escape us, I'm sure, but we'll be done with it.
We've missed the basement, I think is what you're saying.
Yes.
Indeed. We've missed luring strangers down into the basement. So.
That's it. Yeah. When you're talking about, our former podcast host, and I'm like, what?
Where'd
I'm looking
go?
Around like, where's the trap door?
Exactly. He's been shanghaied.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyways, everyone, welcome back. Thank you. I had a trip to, can I start with my trip?
Do
I went to North Carolina.
To Hipster Central.
Yeah, to Asheville. And this is not, it wasn't a bikey trip. And it was kind of funny. I felt like an imposter, actually, because this, my lifestyle has become such that, like, I don't own a car. I rarely drive. And when I do, it feels really strange. It feels like I'm violating some sort of social contract. So, my brother-in-law it's my sister's husband, works for Alaska Air. And so he got us onto the standby list for these flights. So we went to Atlanta, which is the closest place Alaska Air flies.
So Alaska Air to Atlanta.
Yes.
Okay. I'm just figuring this out.
Weird, right?
Hey, I'm taking Alaska Air to Hawaii next month. You know?
Something's wrong here.
The number of times someone on Alaska actually goes to the state of Alaska, I think, is probably minuscule.
Yes.
Yeah.
Probably.
But, I mean, they're nice people there. The interesting thing about Alaska Air is that they don't have the screens that are built into the headrests and whatnot.
Oh, thank
like
God.
Some screen or some planes you get onto, they have these screens everywhere, and most people don't know how to turn them off. Like, you can do that and have some peace of mind and not be like bombarded with advertisements for 8 hours while you're like crossing the continent. Oh. But Alaska Air doesn't even have those. Like, there's barely any screens on the plane. So,
I love these guys already.
Totally, yeah,
yeah.
I'm trying to remember the. I also used in-flight Wi-Fi for the first time on the way back because our flight was delayed. There was like a big piece of plastic sitting on the tarmac that had to be removed so it didn't get sucked into the engines.
They had to call a plastic remover.
They did. Yeah. Yes. They did. I think nobody
could run out there and do that.
Right. And we also had an issue with the door. Like, the door was closed, but it didn't look like it was closed. So it had to be certified by like a technician after it was fixed by other people.
Nice.
And I understand, like, they don't want people to die in the air, which I think is a good idea.
Yeah, I'm all right with not dying in a plane in the middle of the air.
But I had already arranged pickup because, like, I have a low phone life, so I don't have a cell phone, which I can call and talk to people with any old time. So I make plans ahead of time. And my mom was going to come and pick us up, I think, when we touched down in Seattle. So I ended up ordering in-flight Wi-Fi for $4 for an hour, which was a lot. But it was a way to get her a message and say, hey, we're not going to be there for like an extra 45 minutes. And I didn't want her to like drive around in circles at the airport for 45 minutes waiting and trying to figure out where we were. So anyways, that was fun. But we went to Asheville. It's where my wife's sister lives with her husband and two kids. And so we stayed with them for a week. And it's the hipster capital of the South, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. Does it mean they don't wear quite as much plaid as the rest of the South? What is the hipster capital of?
It means that they wear like black framed glasses with their plaid.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's that coming from the Northwest. I'm like, I don't know what sort of rank that is.
Totally. The cool thing about Asheville is that they are one of the only places with bike lanes within like 200 miles of their location. Wow. Because just outside, like our relatives live in the suburbs, I guess, or whatever. Like the town is called Black Mountain, and actually Swannanoa is the place that I stayed, which sounds beautiful. Really, it's just like it's a town with a laundromat, and that's pretty much it. But it's pretty.
Yeah.
A bunch of red dirt. It rained a lot. It was actually like snowy.
Clay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So the way things work out is basically the roads, I will never take shoulders for granted again, because when you're riding bikes in Oregon, you can ride on the shoulder outside the white line.
It's
and there's still pavement there.
Pretty well.
Yeah. But at least in that part of North Carolina, the roads are like, the curbs are made of granite. And they butt right up against the road. So you're either in the lane fully, like taking the lane with traffic, like 45 mile an hour speed limit. And they're not nice drivers like in Oregon. So you got that, or you're like riding on dirt. So
Or the granite cliff.
Exactly, yeah. Wow. I didn't ride a bike once when I was there. Not once.
The whole week. Did not get on a bike.
So do you start to go through withdrawals?
Yeah, well, like I said, I felt like a fraud. I didn't ride a bike. I didn't take transit. Apparently, transit in Asheville isn't so great. It's Asheville Regional Transit or something like that. And apparently, it's not very good, not very consistent. It would have been really difficult for us to catch the bus from Swannanoa. And it's not that far away. It's like 15 miles out of town. But, like, you know, just TriMet is so much better than that, because TriMet goes everywhere. And, yeah, I mean, Portland, even with cutbacks, you can still get a bus like every, you know, half hour or something like that. I think for us to take the bus, it would have been like we'd have to be home before 9 every day. And that wasn't happening. So we were driving our rented Malibu.
As a bus driver, I could imagine working like that. Yeah. Oh, sorry, it's 9 o'clock. Go home.
Time to clock out. Yeah. So anyways, I mean, travel is interesting. I think I have a lot of respect for people who end up traveling through other parts of the country where it's a little bit more difficult to bicycle. You, Aaron, went to VeloCult recently, and you went to an event where, what was it called? Recycle America?
Recycled America?
Okay.
Or America Recycled. I can't remember. I get those two switched up. But they're these guys who did a documentary or doing a documentary. And they cycled from one end of the U.S. to the other, east to west.
Mm-hmm.
They started in Asheville, actually, and then visiting all of these different communities along the way. These people or groups of people who kind of do the American dream homesteading thing in a more modern sense.
What does homesteading look like these days?
Right. Well, okay, so what it kind of was originally, you know, is you go out west, you live off the land, you build your house as you can.
Steal it from some First Nations or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Right.
We've already done all that.
Push
now,
the First Nations off their land.
Yeah, that's done. So that's half the job, right?
I guess.
Mission accomplished.
Well, now you have to push the man off.
Yeah. Anyways,
more
so sticky. That's kind of what these people are doing is the group in Asheville, their name, I think they call themselves Montana House.
Hmm.
And they're out from Asheville proper, in these woods.
Mm-hmm.
And it's somewhat unclaimed land, or one guy owns the property and they maintain and have built this multi-room, multi-level house out there, mostly from reclaimed wood.
Nice.
They talk about things like going dumpster diving, for their food. One person in the sound bit was saying how she had never done this before moving into Montana House, and now she feels like it's almost a civic duty to
eat reclaimed food.
To go dumpster diving for all of the stuff that we waste as a society.
No, it's the worst thing. I could never work in food service, I realized, because like my job would be to throw away like plates of half-eaten dinners.
Oh, yeah.
And that just like, it pisses me off.
That's just that end of it.
Yeah, I can't abide
it. Think if you're in the prep end and you have like something prepped and it is, quote, sat too long,
mm-hmm.
you know, according to food regulations, you have to throw that away.
Bacteria are better for you than you think, really.
I think so.
The more you eat, the tougher you are.
Speaking of which, the same group, like there's a bit where they ate roadkill and talked about reclaiming and eating roadkill.
Like they served coyote to an entire town or something?
Well, no, they found a bear actually in this episode. Found a bear that
was roadkill. Wow.
And
must have been a big vehicle.
Off the usable parts of it, and yeah, I don't know what happened to the vehicle at all. Like, there's no story as to like
that
how the bear was killed.
It's just
that they found this bear, you know,
yeah.
on the side of the road that was killed.
Huh.
But yeah, there's clips of them like cutting the skin off the bear, and you know, like cleaning all the meat off. And anyways,
that's impressive.
Just really interesting. That's just one episode out of like many that these guys have done biking across the U.S. It seemed really interesting. I kind of hope that they get in contact with us. Maybe we'll end up getting in contact with them.
You know, I think I have an email in my box right now from them. And I'm not sure I don't know if it was actually to us or if we're on a mailing list or something. Okay. But yeah.
But anyways, yeah, they were
promoting. Did you give them our email address?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good. Wow. Yeah. So
they were promoting their film over at VeloCult, and that's where I was watching it.
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Dan, did we talk about VeloCult when you were here last?
No.
Have you heard of it?
No.
Okay, it's a bike shop up in the Hollywood District, like 42nd and Sandy,
basically. Oh, yes, yeah. I know the area, yeah.
Yeah, and they give away, you've probably driven through there, I'm sure, many times.
Sure.
They sell beer, they fix bikes, and they have live music and events there, so.
Man, if they had a laundromat in the basement, I'd never leave you.
You know,
that's
next
four
to
things.
A laundromat, actually.
Wouldn't that be awesome? That would be four things in one place that would just, bing, bang, bong, boom, I'm staying.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the thing. Down in Newport on the Oregon coast, which a lot of people like to ride on bikes, you know, they do like the whole tour or like a week's worth or something. Down in Newport, there's a bike shop that actually has like a hostel on top of a bike shop.
Oh, that's a great
combo. I think with
combo.
Laundromats and that sort of thing. So you could like stay in, so indoors for a night.
Oh,
and
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, I think that's a good idea. Yeah. So you think, you don't eat meat, Aaron. So
I don't eat meat. Yeah. However, I think if I was in a more intentional living off the land kind of situation,
uh-huh.
I might be more apt to eating reclaimed meat. Like
okay.
That. Yeah.
What about the zombie apocalypse? Would you eat meat then?
Well, I wouldn't eat zombie meat, of course, lest I be infected. But but yeah, yeah.
We're all
infected.
You
know, again, if push came to shove and I was forced to live off the land, I have to eat what the land provides. And
true
if
enough.
The land provides me a roadkill bear.
Yeah.
I'll be damned to pass it up.
Exactly, yeah, yeah. Dan, do you ever do any dumpster diving?
No.
Are you afraid of trash?
Yes.
It's okay. That's fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm here to speak for the other 99% of the people saying, no, thank you. I just, it's not, I'm not for wasting food.
Right.
And as you can tell by my size, I wasted very little food in my life. I can promise you I'm the least food waster of anybody, but... if I can't speak for the food, I don't.
Right.
I don't need to guess.
You don't rustle around.
I don't guess with my biology.
Yeah,
I
think that's all right. Yeah. Well, your stomach—it's a volatile thing, and like, it's no fun when your stomach doesn't agree with you.
No.
So yeah.
No.
You got to take care of it.
I've been on the opposite end of that. And
yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Seriously.
But you know, you're right. I mean, it's part of the curse of the masses,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, if you are feeding for masses, you have to prepare in a certain way. If the masses are eating, then there's more waste. I mean, it's relative to numbers.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. When you're four people camping out of a backpack, I bet there's a lot less food wasted.
Right.
Right. Because you're carrying it. And,
I've been
right?
there. Yeah.
So,
definitely.
But if you're preparing a meal for 200 people, I bet there's a lot more food wasted because you're trying to guess what's
right.
Going to be.
Right.
Yeah.
And then somebody doesn't want to eat like the skin of something or something like that. Yeah. So that goes in the trash.
Oh my God. It's like when my friends get together, it's like passing a United Nations mandate to go to eat. I remember when it used to be simple. Let's go to eat. Okay. And now it's like, oh, and you know what? I'm the worst one now. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Are you gluten-free?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. How's that going?
Right. Well.
Are you off the gluten? Is it working?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I read, when I went into my doctor's about 2 months ago, and she just looked at me and said, how long do you want to live, Mr. Christensen?
Hmm.
And I said, well, that's a unique approach. Oh, yikes.
When a doctor says that to you, it's
dangerous.
Yeah,
she was really direct. She says, like, I'm not going to put more effort into you than you do. That's Ooh. Crazy. So she says, if I put all this effort into you, I see you in a line of the Burger King, I'm going to be pissed. And I'm right. like, okay.
That's an ultimatum right there.
So I've been heavy for a long time. And she said, you know, this is your life. She gave me some numbers, your life expectancy as you are right now and what's going wrong. And so she said, you got to change.
Mm-hmm.
And I went home and I threw away all my food first.
Oh, yeah.
Everything.
Right.
And
that's probably
I came over and got it out of your garbage.
Yes, that's good. No, actually, I gave it away because my old house, I just put a big, in fact, the table's still there, bike chained to my fence, big table, and I put boxes of food, and I put free food on it.
There you go.
Nice.
All disappeared overnight.
Oh, yeah.
Not a single scrap of food left, so I'm happy with that.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's makes me happy. And right.
And like if someone else who like that, maybe the food isn't going to be as much of a health issue for, like they could still use it, I guess.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah. That's fine. I
like
mean, I'm in a special circumstance. Mm-hmm. And I read this great book, if you ever have a chance, called Wheat Belly.
Wheat Belly.
Talk about why people are fatter now than they were in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And the introduction of dwarf wheat, and which allowed us to feed the world. But when they hybrid wheat, all the DNA stays. It's not like humans. Two humans mate. They the little DNA.
Half DNA. Say,
yeah, half
DNA.
This, half that.
Right.
It's like a little card game that's dealt out. But when it's that basic of a life form, a plant, it just says, okay, slap these together. And so you end up with these really long strands, and they're like, we don't know what it does, but it does different things. So when they tried this very primitive wheat, I can't remember the name of it, but it was one of the origin wheats, and you ate that, it has no effect on blood sugar or anything like that.
Huh.
And the modern wheat is better than sugar. It's higher on the glycemic index than sugar.
Interesting.
And it gives off this stuff called exorphins, which are sort of like endorphins,
okay.
which is why you get that hot piece of pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What else has that orgasm, you know, hot buttered piece of bread on a rainy day? You're just like, this is the best.
Totally.
And you're drooling. And it's, the smell makes you all excited, you know. And that's what we made bread to do that.
Right.
And it wasn't necessarily intentional, but what are you going to eat? Boring bread or stimulating bread?
Seriously.
Right?
I'll take stimulus anytime.
Right. So I changed my whole diet.
Yeah.
And absolutely gluten-free.
Yeah.
And I don't eat gluten-free substitutes because that's made with cornmeal.
Okay.
Like for me, my big four horsemen.
Just as bad.
Yeah. Is corn,
the wheat, four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Corn, wheat, rice, and potatoes.
Okay.
Are the
rice
four,
too, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
No. Yeah. Can't do it. And
even brown rice?
Nope.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Nope. Because most brown rice isn't really brown rice. It's just rice that's brown. It's not like the real wild rice.
Right.
It's a modern rice they made brown. They go, oh, we'll call people, tell them this is brown rice.
Right, right.
Damn you, food. You lied to me again.
Yes. So, but anyway, it's an interesting book, and it has all the science and the details. And then I said, well, I'm going to try this. And so the great things about the diet, don't have to worry about portions.
Sure.
Because you don't get hungry the same because you're not on the blood sugar roller coaster.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you're not like eating and then 2 hours later going, hey, you could go for something else. Just a little something.
Oh, yeah.
Right, right.
And that's because of the effect of this highly stimulating blood sugar food.
Mm-hmm.
And you just
keeps you coming back.
Yeah, it keeps you coming back. And that's why when you eat that box of chips, you suddenly are at the bottom and you got, you know, licking your finger.
Oh, exactly.
This stuff at the
just
bottom is really
more.
Good. Yes. These Cheez-Its, right?
Yeah. I've been there so many times.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
That's that we've mastered ourselves. We've made this great product and we're like, oh, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too good.
Right.
It's too much energy. It's too fast. It's too addictive. And it's too cheap.
Uh-huh.
They make it's not that it's bad, but they make it for like you can turn 3 cents of wheat into $3 of profit.
Yeah.
So that's why if you look at what's on the shelves in stores, the percentage of things that are wheat based now is like five times what it was.
Right. Because you can maximize the profits.
In the 70s. And who in the 70s had the big bellies? Guys who drank beer.
Oh, right. Okay.
Made with wheat.
Right.
Right. And then once they switched to this dwarf wheat, because they consumed too much.
Right.
And now we all.
Everybody has it regardless.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
You don't even have to drink beer to have a beer belly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And they did all those studies in the 80s and said, it's fat. It's fat. It's fat. What they found out was, well, you eat a burger, mm-hmm. the bun drives your blood sugar up. And your body says, it's just like a primitive, think of yourself as a caveman, right? You're sitting
right.
there with your stick.
Right.
You kill the mammoth. And you're like, ooh, and you eat a lot. And you keep eating. Your body says, I'm full. I'm storing this for later because we starve for 4 days out of five.
You never know when we're going to find another
right.
mammoth.
So when right. you eat the burger, the sugar in the bun jacks through your system and says,
oh.
ooh, store this for later because just, yeah. you're full.
Uh-huh.
Even though you might have only taken three bites.
Interesting.
So all that saturated fat and fat, they kept talking about fat. The fat did make you fat because the blood sugar would spike so high and
from the bun.
Tricked your body into storing it.
Yeah.
Right. So this isn't Diet Today.
No, but it's good to know how this stuff works.
But that's, and but so for me.
I was
going
to say, this goes in with the simplifying
theme, exactly.
though, still. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So for me, it was all or nothing. I couldn't halfway it.
Uh-huh.
And some people can. I'm not a halfwayer.
Right.
And I jumped in and...
There are those that do and those that dippity do.
And let me tell you Jones for wheat products like dough, bread, and crackers and...
Oh, heck yeah, man.
Oh, my God. That is like the hair... I didn't know. I stopped and I'm like, I'm driving the bus. So I'm sitting there going, oh, I got to watch this car coming out because it's like a slice of pizza and I could just... What was that? You know, I'm looking at this guy and like, yeah, she went shopping. Why don't she buy some bread?
It's like in the cartoons when like the dog looks at something that turns into a pork chop.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Except it's like buns and bagels. And,
oh.
So it just, so
right.
like, so now I eat a lot of fish, which probably is good for my, I love fish and chickens, but I get the best fish I can,
mm-hmm.
and I get the best chicken I can, and I don't get the factory chicken, and I get, so I try to do, if I'm going to spend some money on that, I'm trying to get something really good.
It might as well
and
be.
Might as well spend, and I eat like 1,000 times more vegetables now than the incidental vegetable intake of my earlier days.
Like, oh, hey, there's some cauliflower.
Oh, shit, they put some lettuce on this. Okay, I'll get through that. But now... and so I don't get that hungry, raving hungry. I don't have now at when I'm past the withdrawal stage.
Nice.
It's much easier, much easier.
Okay.
And I found I can go anywhere and eat. We went out to pizza and I'm like, just took my fork. It scraped all the cheese and meat and the vegetables off the bun or the crust and that's what I ate.
So you order deep dish then?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm like, load it up.
Totally.
They said, do you want the veggie special? Like, yes.
Yes, I do.
Everything you got.
Yes.
And
that's great.
So it's I'm down 40 pounds in 2 months.
So before I forget, what was that book that you mentioned?
Wheat Belly.
Okay.
I can't remember who wrote it.
No, I'm going to make a note. I'm going to search it on Amazon and we'll have it on the website.
Nice.
So...
Yeah. So I don't know if you listened to this episode with Allison Wiley. I mentioned fasting and only eating beans and rice for a while. And you mentioned, you know, how you crave wheat products. That was one of my biggest struggles during that time. And I have to confess, like, once I came off that fast, one of the first things I did was discount bakery section.
Yeah, those exorbitants got to get back in the brain.
Right.
But you know what? What's interesting is I never thought I could fast. And now I think, I could easily do that.
Oh, yeah, now it's my staple.
There's been times I've forgotten to eat.
Mm.
And before, I would have never forgot. No meal time
went
by unnoticed.
Totally.
And that's not joking. I mean, my body would literally say, hey, eat.
Yeah. No meal left behind.
But exactly. And now I have to, like, I have my little iPhone. I set alarms. Got to eat here. Got to be to remember.
Because
I will just keep going.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You never think, well, I get hungry, but not in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the same way.
So what's the difference? Do you feel like you get hungry for certain things?
No.
No.
I just get hungry.
Okay.
And that usually when people say I get hungry for, you never hear them say I get hungry for broccoli.
Right.
They get hungry for bread, or they get hungry for corn products or cheese or different things like that.
Yeah. So this is less it's a less specific hunger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more general. Like, I need nutrients. Like, hey, fill the tank. You know,
yeah,
it's like my old Volkswagen would stutter, you know, when I got about a quarter tank, it's like going, blah, 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 what, right, what, what?
It's time for time
especially
for
if you turn to the left, you know. It's like, oh, go to, you're like, you're,
it's
you're
a little bit more empty.
Yeah, your
now.
Fuel meter doesn't work. I said, I don't need it. It tells me what I need.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Well, we should talk about walking, and before we do, we all have beverages. You haven't even opened yours yet, Aaron.
No,
what do we have?
So I've got a Bundaberg ginger beer.
You've had this before on the show.
Yes.
It's
oh, damn, nice. That sounds good.
That was an intense depressurization.
Not bad.
Or repressurization.
Now I apologize for yelling at your roommates.
That's
or
okay.
Yelling about your roommates.
No, they hit
out
it.
Of the fridge.
Yeah.
If they hadn't have pulled it out of the fridge, it wouldn't have made that really awesome
right.
depressurization.
That's true.
So it remains to be seen if it's better warm or cold then. This will be a test. Scientific method.
Mm.
Yeah?
I mean, it's good. It's good anyway.
Okay.
So it's hard for me to say. It's,
right.
It's my favorite ginger beer.
Nice. Little bite to it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dan, you've got?
The boring diet caffeine-free Pepsi.
That's cool.
I had to. That's one thing I had to give up, caffeine, because that stimulant keeps.
You are a saint, because I could never do that.
I never thought I could until I started doing it on this diet, and then. I just said, well, if I'm going to feel crappy for 2 days, I might as well
feel go
as
all the
crappy
way.
As you can.
It's like I had sort of a cold. I'm like, oh, okay, this weekend I go nowhere. I play video games and feel crappy.
Well, I mean, if you get to play video games, that's...
That's right. That civilization ain't going to play itself.
That's right. You know what? Actually, that reminds me. I'm just going to throw in a piece of mail here because we have something, not Civilization, but SimCity.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Where did I put this? Jack. This is Jack from Twitter, and he says, listening to episode 121 reminded me of creating a village in SimCity that was self-sustaining within their model. I built houses on a lake. Everything was high value and low crime. There were no roads, only rail that went past work and shopping, which was followed by the power plant. If I could have had half a police and fire station, the budget would have been neutral. As it was, I ran hundreds of virtual years in a nearly steady state. Seems like the population was a few thousand Sims, which are those virtual inhabitants of Sim Cities. So, I mean, I was a big Sim City fan as a kid. I think that's why I like urban design so much today.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, that reminded me of that. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So thanks, Jack. Thanks for writing in. I think there's another piece that we'll get to later. But I have a like a shot, half a shot of Old Crow left in the bottle of the bottom of a bottle here. So I'll be finishing that. And then I have a Widmer Columbia Common, which tastes surprisingly like Heineken. So, yeah, Heineken was my first beer I was of legal age to purchase. It's not a good beer. I'm not going to say it was great, but it's a kind of a,
it's a good first beer, though.
Mm, yeah.
My first beer, Hams, can of Hams beer. Hold on. In the back of an El Camino on the hottest day of the year.
There you go.
And we went to a drive-in movie, and we opened those hot beers.
Oh.
And we thought, we're living the life. We were watching it at a drive-in. We were watching, Excalibur.
Oh, yeah?
And I'm like, it don't get much better than this. Hold on, I got to go.
Yeah.
I was going to say, it was okay
hot.
That it was...
It wasn't warm. It was hot. Hands.
Hot beer, man. That's...
And I kept saying, you know, some places in Europe drink their beer hot.
Seriously.
This is totally bull.
That's hilarious.
Yes.
Wow. Okay. So you've been walking then.
And, yes. That was a month of dieting, and then I started walking to work, which started brutally. It's a 1.25 miles from my home to work, and it was the worst 1.25 miles ever. I walked it one day and then got a ride home. And the first day I took 3 10-minute breaks.
Mm-hmm.
I was not in good shape.
How long?
The next day, I took 2 10-minute breaks. The next day, I took 1 10-minute break. And the next day, I walked all the way through.
There you go.
Then by the end, Monday of the next week, I was walking there and back each day. And then it got just automatic. I could do it no problem. Boom, right, boom, on. Boom. Get there, go to work. Everything's fine. Then I moved in with my girlfriend 2.5 miles away.
So you double your distance.
And I thought, this is going to be just like before. It wasn't. It was much better.
Mm-hmm.
I walked the 2.5 miles in the time it took me to first walk the 1.5,
okay.
1.25. So I'm like, I'm doing good.
Yeah.
So you may see me someday walking down Holgate over to Bow Garage and love it.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So now this week is getting up to going there and back,
uh-huh.
which when you're moving, working long hours,
right.
It's hard to commit to that much time out mm-hmm. of a day walking.
Yeah.
But my goal, here's my goal. The end of the month, I get a week off.
There vacation, you go.
And I am going to walk around Portland.
Is that right?
Yep. Oh, yep.
Nice.
I'm planning a route. I'm going to go down. I'm going to record it and go down the Springwater Trail.
Okay.
And then cut over through downtown and go down to Northwest and then over into St. John's.
So you're talking about actually around like the circumference
around,
of Portland.
Well, not exactly. Because right. I got to go where it's easy, safe, and easy.
So not to Tigard.
I'm not going I'm not like following the city line. I'm following a route around Portland through the neighborhoods I love and
very good.
Yeah. So I'm gonna do that. That's my goal. I'm gonna go and then take a bus home every night and then go back to the same spot and start walking the next
again.
Day. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
That's my goal.
Yeah. So there was a guy, he I believe is a professor at Clark College up in Vancouver, Washington, just across the river. And he wrote a book about walking the border, I believe the metro boundary for the urban, what do they call it? The urban
growth boundary.
Yeah, urban growth boundary. That's it.
Yeah.
And so, he did basically the same thing.
Yeah.
I think he might have had, because a lot of those places aren't necessarily transit available, but he would have someone drop him off and he would walk along the boundary and look at the differences between urban growth and rural. And and he wrote about it. So that was fascinating. I should see if I can find the title of that book, but it was inspiring. I thought it was interesting. So what do you notice as you're walking? Like what has changed since you started until now? You said it got easier, but what?
I mean, like the big thing is, you know, this sounds strange. When you go to rail training to learn to drive, operate the train, they always, you don't look at signals, you observe them.
Okay.
They never say look.
Never stare.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just a term.
Okay.
But if you think about it, observe is a very deliberate act. And when you walk through the neighborhood, it's much more deliberate, and that is a big difference. Even on a bike, you see the neighborhood go by, and in a car, you see the neighborhood go by a little faster. But when you walk, you observe the neighborhood go by.
Yeah,
right. You see the house with the dog, and the dog who comes out and is too afraid to get close, and the guy who you can see is doing yard, you know, big yard remodel, and you see the case of beer on one side and then beer bottles littering out to where the job site ends on the other side. I'm like, there's a story right here.
Yeah, you can tell what happened.
Sunday was sunny and Monday was rainy, and I look and I'm like, you know, probably had some buddies helping him and just drank himself to the end of the house and was done.
Yeah.
You know,
that's hilarious.
Yeah. And, so it's a stranger organic state when you're walking through, and I see a lot more things. Like there's one place where I drove by maybe 1,000 times this year and walk by and I see this old 65 Thunderbird half in this garage, and it's just all overgrown with trees and weeds, and despite it being, it looks horrible and beautiful at the same time.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, I've never seen that. Why haven't I seen
this? And
it's
been on your way to work.
Yeah, it's been right there.
So is there a tree growing out of the car itself?
Not
or
quite.
Kind
that
of
would be
intertwined
epic.
Around it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of, and just as I was walking by, this lady looks out and says, I'm planning on getting it fixed. She obviously had some degree of guilt. And I'm like, good on you.
Right.
Yeah. I'll get right on that, honey. That's the phrase.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So, and there was a couple houses. Like, I never noticed. There's this one house that just struck my fancy totally. Well, but I've been by it so many times, never seen it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, never observed it. So I love those two different terms.
Yeah.
And when you slow down and you're walking by something for a minute or 30 seconds, you just see a lot more.
Yeah. Yeah. I've noticed a lot about walking through my own neighborhood. I start to connect with neighbors every now and again because I drive a school bus. I park out during the day and walk home and do, like, you know, chores or lunch or whatever. And then I walk back. And so I walk up and down the streets between the park and my place four times a day, I guess. Wow. And sometimes I'm riding the tall bike, but either way, I'm out and I'm about and I'm seeing people. And so now, like, I know, like, half the people between here and there just because I've bumped into them at one point or another.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, if you like getting to know your neighbors, it's a nice way to do that as well.
And walking is engaging.
Yeah.
Like, if two people walk by each other, they'll even say stuff.
Right.
When I bike by people, they usually just look past me as fast as possible.
Sure.
Yeah, you're lucky to get a nod.
Yeah. Or my favorite, the finger lift. You know, that's
raising.
Like, yep. I'm going through the intersection. They're going through, and we kind of stop and hesitate. Then they let me go. They give me the little finger lift.
Not a wave.
Yeah. And too many calories burnt in a wave. Just that little lift of that index finger saying, that's how much you matter.
Totally. Totally.
Index, that's you. Yeah.
So National Walk to Work Day, I believe it's National Walk to Work Day, was this last Friday.
Oh, damn.
And
I did it.
Yeah, you did. Exactly.
Oh, my God. I did it. Yeah.
So I undertook this project. I've always wondered. I work for, again, like I said, a school district. I drive school bus, and the buses that I drive are stored up on Marine Drive, and 6th in the Northeast, right on the Columbia River, basically. And I live right next to Mount Scott, about as far south as you can get in Portland on the east side.
Yeah.
And so I said, you know, how far is it? Could I walk there? And so I decided this Friday, because it was National Walk to Work Day, I wanted to do it last year, but it kind of snuck up on me. I didn't plan well, and it just didn't seem like a good idea at that point. So this time, I planned ahead, put it on my calendar, got up at 3 a.m. and put on some pants and walked to work. So it was like 12 and a half miles, I think. It took me 3.5 hours.
I do like that you added put on some pants.
Well,
because I was thinking, you know, if he doesn't put on pants, this story's getting weird.
One of my favorite movies, Mystery Men.
Oh.
Do you want to put on some pants before you go out and fight crime today? It's a good line.
Epic movie.
Yeah. Basically, I spent 3.5 hours on the road. And like you were saying, you notice all kinds of things.
Oh, yeah.
There's also between the 84 and MLK going north on 33rd and west on Deakum, no place to take a shit. Not at all.
Wow, that's what this show turned into.
Seriously. No, like, I mean, if you got to plan ahead.
You need to have crafty bus man thinking. One word for you. Actually, it's a couple. Mm-hmm. Concordia University.
See, I walked right by there, and I figured there's
something. Bingo!
So where is it? Where's the toilet?
Inside. Got to walk in and get that kind of dumb look that most college students have.
Okay, gotcha.
I know all about the world. And walk in there, and then no one will question you.
Okay, gotcha.
And you walk in there with that air of authority in my bus driver uniform. Check it out. I'm using the bathroom.
I've got patches on my shirt.
That's right. Don't Seriously. Mess with me. I got a patch and a punch.
Yeah.
And, that's a good one, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's good to know.
Yeah.
So next time I do this, I'll
Bingo.
Be ready. I was hoping I'd stumble across a construction site where a house was being built and there's some porta potty sitting outside.
When you're desperate, you're like designing scenarios. This is what happens.
Right.
I'm walking, and then a truck pulls up with 50 porta potties on it, and I just hop in.
The cruel irony was that as I was beginning to realize my need, a truck with like 5 porta potties drove past me.
Totally. Oh, God.
Totally. You. Yeah. So close and yet so far.
So what happened here again?
What was
like,
that?
What did you end up doing then?
I walked to work.
You walked? Right.
Oh, you mean
no,
like...
No, I mean, I'm not...
Oh, the golf course.
I didn't zone out that far.
Uh-huh.
No, like, how did you...
Columbia Boulevard golf course is a good one.
Solve your problem. As
Arco on Lombard and MLK.
Okay.
Wow.
I made it there.
It's a long walk.
It was.
To go.
Seriously. So, at any rate...
33rd. End of the ramp on Columbia Boulevard, there's also the golf course.
That's not a bad idea.
And you walk in there like, hey, I know how the world works. No one will question you. Just
you
like the college. The same kind of dumb, stupefied look.
There's a lot of trees and grass. I thought that's where you were going with that.
Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah. So anyways. That is me saying, hey, I walked, and so do you. So that's, we have something in common.
That's right.
Yeah.
I assemble my worldview from down here up,
mm-hmm.
not the other way around. And so I very much relate to my community around me and my city around me, and walking is just the best way to connect with it.
Right.
Yeah. It really does. And especially if you put out just a little effort and smile and
sure.
say hi and,
yeah.
and you'll learn all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I got one guy talking to me one day. In about 5 minutes, I learned all about ham radios.
Really?
Huh. Yeah. Come on over on Sunday. We'll show you. Whoa.
Dude, ham radio guys are yeah. into it, too.
Oh,
like, if
God.
They're an enthusiast, they're an
there
enthusiast.
There ain't no halfway ham radio guy.
Seriously.
You know what I mean? It's like a paintballer on steroids.
yeah.
Like, the paintballer guy, he'll just, like, get into it for until his credit card maxes out. He's like, that's an $8,000 paintball gun.
Exactly.
It's automatic. I'm like, okay, it's been, let me blow the dust off this. You know, they haven't used it in 5 years, right? And then, but ham radio guy lives that dream every mm-hmm. day. I yeah. like ham radio guy.
Totally. And ham radio, actually, an integral part of the disaster relief trials, which I believe
oh, yeah.
are coming up again this spring at some point.
Oh, good.
Awesome.
Yeah. But, know, in the hypothetical situation in which Portland is devastated by some sort of disaster and cargo bikes come to the rescue, ham radio operators are also kind of part of that dispatching system. So,
right on.
Yeah.
The big quake that we're long overdue for, that'll
right.
be bigger than anything that's ever hit California.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Pacific subduction zone.
Yep.
Yep.
Tectonic plates. Are,
that'll never happen.
yeah, I'm keeping my fingers crossed.
That science is all hooey.
Seriously, science, what do they know?
Yeah. When that happens and everybody reverts to riding bikes.
Right, right. Well, that's, yeah.
I mean, it'll be getting to the hospital on bikes and getting around on bikes. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Watch your zombie movies now. Just get, get in the mindset so you know how to deal with the masses of humanity that
just
will have no
around.
Idea what
yeah.
to do.
Oh, boy, yeah. those are so bad.
Yeah. Well, is there anything else that's happened recently, bus-related or otherwise, that's particularly exciting to you, Dan?
Transit-related.
Or
no,
not.
You know...
You were saying, while we're just talking about like lifestyle change, you have several notches on your belt that you've...
Yeah.
How many?
Let's see.
I like how you have it like sort of just hanging yeah. out, like ready.
It's
to...
just this giant long belt hanging down. Here. Hello,
right.
ladies. Check this out.
This is how much.
The
I've
bigger
lost.
The belt, the bigger the belt. So that was me last 4th
you know
of July.
Okay.
And I made it 2 notches in 6 months.
Okay.
Or so, a little over. And then when I started my diet and walking. And eating as much as I could on my new diet, I'm, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4.
That's 4 notches.
Nice.
Yeah, and
nice.
So this shirt is a shirt my girlfriend got me when I started uh-huh. that I could not fit.
Okay.
I looked like an overstuffed sausage.
There we go.
I couldn't even get it over my, yeah, wouldn't fit.
And now you have a shirt
now,
that you like to wear.
It fits great.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you don't lose, when you're as heavy as I do, you don't lose weight evenly everywhere.
Right.
It's like somebody's like, okay, wait. Hello. Wake up down there. We're losing.
Exactly.
But it'll all go away. And it's
yeah.
it's a lifestyle I can live with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I walk into work. I love it.
Right.
Yeah.
And in a pinch, I can, you know, as soon as I get done moving, I can ride my bike if I have to for more time.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that option.
Yeah.
And then if I'm up against it and they need me right away, then I can hop my car. And I'm like, that's 3 great choices. So
totally, yeah.
And the bus runs by my house, so it
oh,
goes right by
go.
The, I'm like, yeah. If I,
it's a good feeling.
Yeah. So yeah. I have some backup.
Yeah.
But you know, foot is going to be, it's free.
Mm-hmm.
I can use my little iPod and listen to books on, you know, I have an Audible subscription and listen to audio books.
Nice.
I almost
wish we were sponsored by audible.com.
God damn it.
Almost.
I love it. I am listening to, and I love, you know what I love is getting those old books that you read a long time ago.
Yeah.
And you don't realize how dated they were.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no. Oh. I guess communist Russia was a bit of a threat.
We've totally
Jesus.
Forgotten about the Cold War
yeah,
until
yeah.
we go back and revisit these old stories.
35 heavy tank divisions in
yeah.
Eastern Europe. I forgot about those days.
Right, right.
I forgot about the Fulda Gap and rolling into Germany. Like, oh, and then reading this book, I'm like, oh, my God.
Totally.
Like, those days are totally, like, no one, never happen again,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I'm sure Russia's thinking, yeah, we could have saved a lot of money with maybe 4 tank divisions, you know what I mean? It's
right,
like
right.
of all the things to waste money on. And then I was reading another great one, and they're perfect because they capture that moment.
Mm-hmm.
and you read them I can't think of the name of the book.
Oh, it's okay. Yeah.
Anyway, but it was, you know, comet hits the earth, everything goes to hell. Lucifer's Hammer.
Oh, those are fun.
And you're reading this, and you're like, again, you know, it was like the Russians land with the American astronauts and where the people are surviving this cometary strike on the earth. And you're like, man.
Yeah.
All gone. There's the Black Panther group, the Fighting the Man group, you know, whoa.
And they all have to come together to fight the apocalypse.
Yeah. And the cannibal zombies
that the asteroid produces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, exactly. And you're like, oh, my God, yuck. And but you read this and you're like, let's see when this was written. 78. And you look around, you go, man, a lot of people have ripped this off.
right. It's a concept that has been appropriated and reappropriated.
Yeah. This has been written more than that.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But I love the old stuff, so, you know, you can't really find it anymore. There's no more used bookstores, so few of them.
Right.
And that was like my big dream when I was young, living over in Northeast Portland, right in the Concordia neighborhood where I lived and grew up. There was a bookstore on 33rd and Killingsworth called Fritzler's Books, and they had a deal for me. Uh-huh. I had an apple cart. And I'd apple crate, and I'd come in, and I could fill it for $5.
Really?
And then I brought every book back. So it was $5 rent for 1 week on an apple crate full of books.
Not so bad.
And I read textbooks. I was not a discriminating reader. I was reading this. I was eighth grade, and I'm reading this, you know, feminist, why men are horrible. I'm like, I'm going to read this. I'm going to finish this.
I'm going to figure it out.
And I just forced myself through everything.
Yeah.
And it was, I just love those days.
That's great.
Yeah. They had a book there by a company that was out of business. It was from the turn of the century. It was a wood pipe company that made wood pipes.
Interesting.
And log flumes and those big wood storage tanks, and they were down on Columbia Boulevard, and that's all they did.
Interesting.
And it was a sales brochure for them. And I'm reading.
You got this from a bookstore.
And it's like, and it's like how to repair crappy iron pipe with wood pipe,
right?
Patches and stuff. And I'm like, whoa, yeah, that iron pipe will go shitty. That'll never last. And I'm reading this, and I'm just realizing, you know, log flumes. Oh, what size of log flume? Do I want a 5x9 log flume? How much? And they had all the charts like water flow over depth and drop and reach. And I'm like, oh, I could learn a lot about log flumes.
Right. Yeah.
And it gave me that love of old technology.
Right.
Like the cutting edge from about 1910.
Uh-huh. And not steampunk, but more like lumberjack punk.
Yeah. And there was something there I'm going to think of the name, but it's called a heliograph. It was a telegraph with a big, bright light that shined in the sky. And that's how everyone knew Morse code and could do code before telegraphs came out, is because they had these heliographs that could flash light in the sky. And that's how armies and ships communicated.
Interesting.
Huh. Yeah, and you don't hear about that now. But,
seriously.
But, it works perfect. You could see it for quite a long ways.
Yeah.
And showed how to set one up. I'm like,
not a bad idea. Well, and there's the little spotlights that like car dealerships always have set up. They're like shining a spotlight in the sky. But you could probably reappropriate one of those.
Yeah. Think how far you could see it. I just get a blanket and I could be on there.
Totally.
I'm coming over.
Sky graffiti. Yeah. That would be great.
Take me only about 10 minutes to send that.
Well, we should probably read our mail and see what happened out there. Is there anything else you want to slip in before we transition?
Eat better, people.
Mm-hmm.
Your body will love you. If you eat better, you hear that all the time.
Right. But this isn't your mom. This is Dan Christensen.
Yes. This is a bus driver talking to you here. And, I'm just happy to be living here and have this opportunity. I know there's places in the world where you don't have any opportunity for food variation.
Totally.
True.
And I'm blessed. I'm living in one of the greatest parts of the country to have all opportunity, and I'm going to take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool, man. We're proud of you. It's just so many good decisions being made here. It's fantastic. So Yeah. Thanks for taking the time to share it.
Oh, yeah. No problem. I'm a good talker.
That you are, sir. That's why we had you back.
I'll just keep talking. Let me tell you about World War II.
So, we've got mail.
We've got lots of mail.
Yeah.
So, you've read the one from Jack. Do you want to queue up the voicemail for Jeremy?
Yeah. Let me get that ready.
Meantime,
and you can
read
Jack's
this.
Twitter, right? Or Jack's tweet. Or I think he had one like before the SimCity thing.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You're right.
But whatever
yes.
you want to go to.
Regarding civil discourse on Twitter, he says, I like the image of a dance with give and take rather than a war with a winner and loser.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. A little...
So unlike Twitter, but I like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
BS, free Justin Bieber's monkey.
No, that's exactly. Yeah. This is Jeremy's voicemail here. And he's our friend from criticaltransit.com.
Hey, Brock and Aaron and listeners to the Sprocket Podcast. This is Jeremy from Critical Transit Podcast. I am calling because I am in Chicago, and I just recently went to the Chicago Bike Swap and got to test ride a whole bunch of cargo bikes. And as you said in a previous episode, everybody does need a cargo bike. And also, I found a 1971 Raleigh folding bike that I'm going to send a picture of. So, yes, Brock, they do exist.
Wow.
So that's cool. Also, I was about to leave Chicago in a couple of days, but while I was here, I was having a discussion last night with a few people as to whether it would make a difference if you put a small chain ring in the front and a large sprocket in the back, whether that made a difference. I think it doesn't. I think as long as your gear ratio is the same, it doesn't make a difference. What do you guys think? And also, we wanted to find out if it's possible to make a bike that would be suitable for using in places where there's just a lot of snow, basically places like northern Canada where there's just like sort of like the tundra or like just places where people use snowmobiles to get around. Wondering if you could replace that with like a sustainable mode, you know, a bike. And then I stumbled online into these basically pictures of like a bike. It's like a bike tire in the back, but just a bunch of pulleys behind it, so it's an elongated wheel, almost like a triangular ish wheel, and then in the front is like a cross-country ski, and then I also saw some where there were like skis in place of both wheels, and the skis just move forward and back depending on as you pedal, which is really interesting, and I'll send you a picture of those. I wanted to get your thoughts on those, and could we could those be used for transportation? And I don't know. Anyway, thanks for doing the show. I'll talk to you soon.
That's interesting. Pedal power cross country ski.
Right. Yeah, it reminds me of the Elliptigo. Have you seen?
Oh
these?
Yeah, yeah,
which
yeah.
is like it's basically an elliptical machine on a bike frame. So yeah, I think what is it? PDX Bike Snob, who he's got a Twitter account here in town, and he said something about like when the guy on the Elliptigo is passing you on a downhill, then you know you got problems or something like that. Fat bikes is the first thing I go to with snow. Like they're making these huge, you know, like 4-inch tire bikes now that you can take out and ride around the snow. And
the Surly Moonrider,
mm-hmm, yeah, the Moonlander yeah. and the Pugsley are both great options for that. In fact, like everybody's getting into the fat bike market, so it's the next big thing. I think. I think that'd be great for sustainable transport. The thing about all of that is that even if it's like environmentally sustainable, whether or not someone's willing to ride, usually in rural areas where there's lots of snow, the distances that it takes to go somewhere, I think the reason they have snowmobiles is because they're fast. So if people put themselves in a situation where they can, where it's sustainable to take, you know, time to go, you know, if the commute is not as far, I think maybe that could be a thing. But I think that's kind of the reason that snowmobiles are persistent, is that no one wants to like trudge through the snow for hours just to get like to the store or something.
Well, it's a lot of resistance, even with a fat tire.
Yeah.
Like you're still going to be pushing a lot. On your pedals.
Mm-hmm. I think the goal here for the adventures of the world is to make a contraption you could put a standard bike in that would transport one. Because I'm just thinking, you know, you're trying to minimize your impact in the world, owning five different bikes for five different reasons is kind of, you're like, bike that could do five different jobs,
right?
Like one bike that would have a trailer and then one bike that would have, you know, you could hook it up to a trailer. You could do this. You could do that. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Bicycle accessories that would make things better. Like studded tires, for example. I still haven't tried it, but the idea of studded tires is something I like.
A friend of my brother's brother-in-law had studded tires in Montana. He says it's almost impossible to turn on your bike.
Oh, I bet.
The way the studs are, like, it just, it jerks your steering.
Your,
like,
self-correction.
Right to straight. Yeah, okay. it corrects too much.
So you have to, like, slow down and make those turns really slow.
Yep.
Yeah. And the other thing is that the fat bike market, I think, is set up for recreation. Like, it's great, and I would love to do this. I'm a big fan of going out in the woods and whatnot. But I think largely people have in mind, like, you throw this on your Jeep or something and take it up to the woods.
Okay.
Go out for a nice day of snow biking, and then you get in your Jeep and go back home. So we got a long ways to go. But I think there are ways that we could, you know, could move into
somewhere someone's thinking of this.
More sustainable transport. I did hear there's a news story about I believe it's the Mountain Express that goes up towards Mount Hood that just received a federal grant. And there was something on the Forest Service website about this, about how they apparently they're trying to bolster some of the transit access to the mountain just so it's not a bunch of cars going up there. Like, people could go up by bus, and it would be realistic to go up. So I like the idea. We'll see if it happens.
But I always wondered, if I'm not mistaken, TriMet owns a right away up to Mount Hood.
Really?
From the end of the MAX train.
Interesting.
And I think when they were trying to get the Olympics here, they packaged this with the purchase of the rail. I think there's a right away. So that means there's a big flat pass.
Like a mountain train.
Yeah, going up there. But I just thought, if anyone wanted to put a trail on that, a bike trail or something, because they may never do it.
Right.
But that's land is just sitting there without use.
Sounds like a rail trail in motion to me.
Yeah. Or there's no track on it or anything, but hey, let's get some use of that right away. Yeah.
Right.
You know, if somebody owns that right away, that would just be fantastic.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
I
have to investigate that.
Totally.
That would be awesome.
The intertwine. I know they're finishing up the paving of the Boring segment of of the Springwater Trail, which is the city of Boring. And it's they were also talking about a path that goes out.
It's also quite a dull segment.
It's
of
terrible.
The Springwater Trail.
Yeah, there's nothing to see out there. But
I
also
wonder if those people just I'm going to kill.
We lost all our listeners in Boring.
Yeah. The joke's been made so many times. But anyways, I understand that there are plans for some trail networks that we're going to extend out that way as well for bicycles and peds and that sort of thing. So,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah. What else we got in mail?
Rory from Kalamazoo, my home state somewhat. Well, I guess this is my home state now.
Yeah.
Anyhow.
Wherever you live.
That was your spawn state.
There we go. That was my... Well,
your spawning pool.
From Kalamazoo. Hey, guys, just wanted to drop you a line thanking you for the podcast. You're very welcome. While on spring break visiting some family in Seattle a few weeks ago, my girlfriend and I decided to take a couple days to check out Portland, mainly due to the things you discussed on the sprocket.
Win.
Wow.
Ka-ching.
Whoa. And
that's awesome.
I don't know. That's a lot of pressure now.
Yeah. We'll never live up to it.
Booked our tickets on Bolt Bus. Awesome. Congratulations. I was really impressed by the speed and cleanliness of the buses we rode on. And now I've got the idea in her head that Portland may be a viable move for us. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could find someone from Bolt Bus to do an interview for the show.
I like that
idea.
Yeah, they're good.
They're owned by, I believe they're an imprint, if we're using the music label analogy, they're an imprint of Greyhound, which is an imprint of First Corporation, I believe, which owns like 90% of all of the transit in the world or something like that. They run the trains in London, some of them, and all that. Huh. But
by the way, if you're moving
like the
to
Clear
Portland,
Channel of transit,
yes, they are.
If you're moving to Portland, bring a job.
Yeah.
That's how you say, bring a job, you know? All these people, the quality of life here is great. Yeah. Employment, not as great.
Yeah. Well, what you have to do is, be self-employed or independently wealthy.
Bring a
or just be okay with, you know, working at a food cart.
You
remember
will not...
we were talking about dumpster diving? This is called a callback in comedy. We're going back.
Exactly. No, but all the people working at coffee shops, baristas, are like college educated people.
Oh,
so, like,
yeah.
You know, you're not going to move to Portland, become a barista, and live a cool life.
You know my term for that, dude.
I know.
A degreesta.
Oh,
somebody with a degree who
perfect.
Works as,
yeah, yeah.
Yes, I've got my history and sociology degree. And,
precisely.
Would you like whipped cream?
And now I, yeah. Phoebe from Boston says of episode 108, this particular episode struck me, does she recognize this pun? Because of the three or four, can't recall, small bike accidents I've experienced. Two or three occurred with other cyclists.
And this is the episode when Dave Foyt got into a bike-on-bike accident.
Yeah, okay. It's not obvious that this would happen. It's a city as a city cyclist, I'm usually more on the lookout for cars, trucks, buses, and pedestrians than for other bikes. All right, fine. I'll wear a helmet. end of episode 120. As someone who works in community organizing, I very much enjoyed listening to this episode with Miki Blizzard. I appreciated Ms. Blizzard's poise and organized articulate style. I hope to speak like her when I grow up.
I said that on to Miki, and Miki said, aw. So, yeah.
And lastly, of episode 121, in general, I've been enjoying all the women featured on your podcast. Yeah, me too. I admit to picking through and listening to episodes that involve women before I listen to others. So, of course, I didn't realize that. Ladies Would Come Up in Transit is relative episode. Dr. Jeff's stories of courteousness and protectiveness towards women riding public transit struck me. In all my years, and I mean years, of being harassed on the Boston MTBA subway and just walking around the city, I haven't noticed any man take note of my discomfort. Is this a thing? If it happened to me, would I even appreciate it? Or would I be offended? I wonder if there's a color factor here. I'm of African heritage. No answers to these questions, of course. Lots of food for thought, though.
Totally, yeah. I think we're going to have to get in touch with Phoebe and have her like do a remote interview. Or maybe I'll bump into her next time I'm in Boston to talk about stuff like that.
The first things I'm going to say is if she only listens to the female people, this person can go to hell. Right? She's not going to know this for a long time, right? Right? Oh, I don't like this person at all. But
yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah. But, you know, as a bus driver, that is the stickiest situation.
Yeah.
When somebody is doing, like, I had a guy in the bus come in, sit down right in front. There's nobody in the bus. Woman gets on the bus. Nice, pretty college girl. Boom. Gets on, goes back, sits down. She's beautiful. Everything's fine. Driving. Pick up another guy, kind of mangy looking. He comes in. Hey, how's it going, bus driver? No, he sits down up front. No problem. Pick up this other guy, comes in, walks all the way back to the bus of the girl, sits in the seat in front of her, turns sideways, and stares at her with the dead look of a psychopath.
Like, hey, how's it going?
And she's just sitting there and sitting there and sitting there. And I could just see the tension building.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and she rang the bell before I said anything. And even to this day, I'm like, I should have said something.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like a hair trigger. You know, if I hear someone say, I don't want to talk to you, I'm like, hey, leave that person alone.
Do not want to talk to you.
Yeah. And it's so hard. It's like, look, if I'm going to get complaints, it's going to be complaints because I'm too zealous in protecting people. I'm okay with those complaints.
Right.
Line me up.
Yeah. And I think that was part of one of the stories that you told at Humanity on Wheels was kind of redirecting the people's attention onto you. Like if you can make them be angry with you, then that kind of solves the situation to a certain degree.
Sure. And if I take complaints, I'll take mountains of complaints if it means that people are riding the bus or the one that when I drove the division bus and I'd come into town every morning in school time and this guy would always bring his daughter on the bus and after a while he'd just leave her on the bus alone and she was old, you know, a little right at the point where you got to make those decisions, and but I always felt very protective of her, and this guy starts talking to her and I'm like, at first the conversation was normal. Now he's like, so where do you live? And I'm like, what school do you go to? What time do you get out? And when he said that, I said, stopped the bus. I said,
creepy.
You got to leave.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he says, oh, and I just yelled at him, you got to leave right now. With the, you know, crazy bus driver voice on the PA system. And he left sheepishly. And then I got like complaints, but I'm like, my boss says, what about those guys?
But you called out
harassments. You're not supposed to yell. And I'm like, I do sometimes. I can't help it.
Sorry about that.
If I can keep someone from getting date raped or raped, then I would take a complaint.
I want this guy to think if I ever say that again, someone's going to yell at me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
True.
I want
him to, people are noticing.
I want him
people
to live
are
in
noticing.
Fear of that.
I mean, Yeah, half of the reason why, like, any kind of crime, much less, you know, these really heinous ones, but most of the reason why any kind of crime is committed or at least perpetrated is because the person knows or thinks that they can get away with it. Nobody's watching.
Yep.
So, yeah, you've demonstrated, like, people are noticing this.
And, it gets so picky, though, because sometimes, like, there's a woman in the back and they're wrestling and she says, stop. And I say, don't use the word stop on my bus unless you mean stop, because then I have to get involved.
Yeah.
If you could say anything else, mashed potato.
Come up with a safety word.
Yeah. But baby, don't say stop, because then I have to say stop.
Yeah.
Anyway. Totally. We also have the last thing on there is it's really long, and we're just about at the end of our show.
We should probably post it on our site.
Yeah, I'm going to make that available. But it's Steve in Wyoming wrote in a little bit about the gender and bicycling and that whole thing. And Martina responded to some of his points. It's great because, you know, it's like all the things that he mentioned and brought up in his email are things that she responded to pretty much at length. So it's great. Anyways, so if you're interested in checking all that out, a lot of the fine points of Steve's issues and things he brought up are there, and Martina talking about them. And I feel like they're probably on much, much more level ground than we portrayed them to be. Like, I think I think they probably agree with each other. So just kind of explaining the situations as they sit. So there's that. Last thing here. We got a shit ton of news stories that I'm not, we don't have time to go through them. So I'll just put those up, and if people want to read them, they can check them out. They're really interesting stuff. I will show you this. This is from Miles.
This was in my inbox too.
Yeah, the pedal powered Pope. This is from bicycling.com and other signs that bikes are taking over the world.
Pope-mobile.
Yeah. So just from Bicycling Magazine, I believe, this is One Divine Ride. Since being elected several weeks ago, Pope Francis is burnishing his image as the people's pontiff. The leader of the Catholic Church plans this summer to debut a pedal-powered Pope-mobile as part of an environmentally friendly initiative started by his predecessor. Commissioned by England-based Environmental Transport Association, the enclosed three-wheel rig carries a price tag of $175,000. That's because the materials involved are far more expensive than carbon fiber. To protect the Pope, the windows are bulletproof and the panels are blast-proof, necessitating a built-in oxygen supply and solar panels for air conditioning.
Oh, my God.
Cycling Romans this summer may be in for a righteous surprise on their daily commute.
But what does it transform into?
Well,
because look at that. That looks like the cockpit of some giant robot, doesn't it?
Yeah. What I was curious about was, like, you got this guy with the big long red, what do you call that around his neck?
Yes.
Apparently someone, a cleric of some kind is peddling the Pope around.
Oh, yeah. Machine. That's going to get caught in some spokes or in some cogs there.
Well, not only that, but the Pope bike here is it's bomb-proof and unbreakable glass. Right. But the guy on the outside is just kind of there.
He's got a red cassock to protect him.
So if someone, I guess he's going to be taking one for the team, I guess, in that situation. If the Pope mobile is attacked, the guy on the outside is completely
defenseless. That's the real faith in action right there.
I guess so. Yeah.
I wonder if the last thing he looks back at the Pope gives him the thumbs up.
Right.
Via que Dios, with God.
Exactly. But then at that point, at the same time, I don't know, like, how often does the Pope get attacked? I've never heard of that.
One time.
Yeah, I think it's happened once. Yeah.
Okay.
Not medieval times, but modern times.
He's always rode in this sort of, like, sealed car kind of thing. It's actually not too dissimilar to that, except it's all on top of this convertible car.
Right. You know, I look at that and I think, you know, he'll be riding and waving at people, and inside there's just gnarly ass ghetto rap going on, right? And he's like waving all peacefully. And like, what the Pope's listening to?
The Pope,
like,
is rolling.
He's got Two Live Crew blasting in there. That's what he's got.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
Well, this is a good time to pull the show to a close. Thanks, everybody, for coming back. It's good to be back and doing live shows in which we're all sitting in the same room. So
yes.
I'm a fan of that.
We should be doing this more often.
This basement needs more love.
Oh, lastly, I wanted to mention, I'm hoping to bike the Big Island of Hawaii in May.
Oh, that's right. This is coming up.
People listening, write to me for suggestions on how to travel with my bike all the way out there.
Yeah.
And if you've got, like, I mean, I lived there for 2 years, so I've got a pretty good idea of where to go. But if you've got other interesting advice for me there. I would really love to hear it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a good call for information because people out there can help. This is crowdsourcing. This is what people did before the internet.
That's right.
So yeah,
but they did it by mail. It was a lot slower, but it did do it.
I am a big fan of this.
I wrote a letter to everybody on the mail list.
Next week we got Aileen Crotty from Film by Bike. She's going to tell us all about that. So, well, if people want to get in touch with us, we can tell them all this in the credits. Correct.
Correct.
Yeah. So why don't you lay those on us, sir?
Why don't I? Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback about the program and suggestions for topics and or guests and or drinks. Write us via email. The address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Or call and leave us a message at 503-847-9774. Connect with us on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. Find him on the internet at ryanjlane.bandcamp.com. Thanks to Hertbird for our headline sounders, which we didn't use. Find them at hertbirdmusic.com.
That's right. Yeah. Everybody go out and walk to work.
Yes.
Do that any old time.
Walking.
It's great.
Save
Don't
the
eat
world.
So many fortified wheat products.
Big mess.
You got big fingers.
That's where editing.
People get so mad at you when you tell them something they have to do for safety, like, you know, don't step in front of the bus in a rainy, dark night and stuff.
Can I tell you something you should already be doing?
Oh, I just love to discuss this with you.
That's hilarious.
I just find it better when I'm in the 20-ton bus that I go first.
Right. You said no dubstep in front of the bus?
Yeah,
really. You got people that are doing that? You step right out there.
Yeah. I call them brake testers. Yeah, your brakes work.
Let me open the drop box in which all the good things live.
I thought that was a metaphor.
Yeah, well, you know.
I'm going to open the drop box, boys. Stand back.
Oh, you want to get that on tape?
Oh, I got it. Tell you what. I say tell you what, and I'm not going to tell you anything. Sorry about that.
I was waiting.
Wait till he's hanging.